Welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. I usually start with LQ news, but as I have quite a bit of regular news to get through today, I'm going to skip that and head right into the non-LQ news. The first set of stories I have are pretty much updates on a couple of the things that I covered in last week's podcast. The first story I have is Red Hat response to Oracle and Microsoft Novell moves. And as the title indicates, this response was directly from Red Hat on the recent upheaval in the Linux world. And what that is both the Oracle announcement and the Microsoft Novell collaboration. My take on the response really is it consists of half pretty good points and half either disingenuous or kind of odd statements. First, I'll cover the good points. From the response, quote, "Last time I looked, we were still in the ring and we are still standing. The big mistakes companies and employees make is to be focused on stock price in the short term." Next quote, "Think back to the Microsoft Sun announcement from a couple years ago, and today you haven't seen any of the promised technical collaboration from that partnership whatsoever." Last quote, "Novell has fallen into the trap of allowing Microsoft to do exactly what it wants to do, which is to trumpet IP, which is intellectual property, solutions, and promises." And to just go through those quick, he's absolutely completely right on the first one. These days, far, far too many people focus on the short-term stock price. Vision and long-term planning, unfortunately these days, is almost becoming a thing of the past. And in the end, I think this is going to be the undoing of many companies, open source or not, really. And I think this is especially poignant if you look at the complete lack of R&D that many companies are doing now, 5 to 10 years down the line, that's really going to start to catch up. Second, the highly touted at the time and much hyped at the time Microsoft Sun announcement from a couple years ago really didn't create anything substantial that I can think of, and that's a good point. Whether this collaboration between Novell and Microsoft will bear more fruit, especially in that virtualization realm, does remain to be seen. And I think the last sentence with respect to allowing Microsoft to do exactly what it wants speaks for itself. So now onto the points I didn't like as much. And this is also directly from the response. Quote, "Having said that, does Red Hat think either of them has taken the right approach now that Microsoft and Novell have made Microvell?" Next quote, "We still believe that we will be the dominant player in the Linux market, because by that time, there won't be any other Linux players. We will have succeeded once again." And the last quote, "This is not about IP. This is about the freedom to meet customer needs and to create competition. That problem is, you can be either for freedom and collaboration, or you can take a different approach. These companies are trying to do both. I can at least respect Microsoft because they don't pretend to be an open source company." End quote. Now, the first sentence I think is a little bit disingenuous. This was clearly a partnership, and really a fairly loose partnership at that, and not anything close to a merger that would warrant the Microvell moniker. Moving on to the second one, and I think probably the most interesting of the three comments, stating they will be the only Linux player is kind of odd on multiple levels. First, they have always claimed that not being the only vendor was one of the big advantages for Linux. The reason for that is if for some reason they went in a direction you didn't like, you could go to another vendor with little cost and little fuss, which is something you obviously cannot do with a proprietary solution. So on that note, they shouldn't want to be the only vendor. But second, I'm not sure in what world every other Linux player is going to disappear in the next 365 days. I don't know where he was going with that one. And, you know, you have to assume it might have been taken a little bit out of context by the journalist. But if that's what he meant, that's definitely the kind of hubris that can get companies into trouble. And it should be noted that that's generally an attitude that I don't see Red Hat taking, so I did find it a bit odd. Now, the last one, you got to kind of like it. It was a nice backhanded jab. But I think in the interest of transparency and in the interest of open source, he should have just came out and said what he meant, which is that in his opinion, Novell isn't an open source company, even though they claim to be one. Now, obviously, I remain interested in how this is going to play out longer term, not only for Red Hat and Novell, of course, but for Linux and even open source in general. And as you may have guessed, I'll certainly keep you updated. This brings me to the next story, which was an interesting QA with the CentOS team about their thoughts on Unbreakable Linux. From the article, quote, "Oracle has seen what has been achieved by projects such as CentOS and has effectively copied the idea, as they are entitled to do under the GPL," said Lance Davis, one of the CentOS volunteer developers. There is evidence that in places Oracle is a rebuild of CentOS rather than Red Hat, again, as they are entitled to do under the GPL. But it would be polite for Oracle to acknowledge that fact that they are derived from CentOS and make a donation to the project. Johnny Hughes, a CentOS community member who is now testing the free version of Oracle's Enterprise Linux, told Linux Planet that the software is poorly documented, extremely buggy, and of questionable security hardening. End quote. Now, Lance was actually a booth down from us in the .org village at Linux World UK. I actually still own my t-shirt. I haven't forgotten, Lance. The article also goes into some of the trouble users may have with the differences in Unbreakable and RHEL, including the inclusion of different patches and, I think more importantly, the use of a different build system and actually assembling the bits. Now, I've covered much of this in my previous podcast, but I thought it was good to get a perspective from a team that has built a respected RHEL clone for quite some time now. Moving back to the Novell and Microsoft collaboration, the dust still really hasn't settled on this one, but this is a story, obviously, like the Oracle one, that the whole community really is keeping a close eye on. This one seems to be garnering even more negative sentiment than the Oracle one, though. Now I'd like to run through a few quick updates from last week's podcast. And as I just mentioned, the reaction from the community here seems to be almost entirely negative. I have seen a few people step forward, and while they might not have been positive on it, they are trying to kind of stem the negativity. And I really guess that's just a natural instinct and a response due to Microsoft's involvement in the deal. A lot of people have quite a deep distrust of Microsoft, and I think sometimes it does tend to cloud people's views on the actual facts. I'm trying to kind of wait and get more information and actual facts and really read as much as I can before making any final decision or forming a final opinion, really. One thing that I do know at this point is that some of the media are claiming that this is the quote-unquote death of Linux, and they're most certainly way, way off. Linux just isn't something that you can kill. That being said, it does seem like Microsoft may have some nefarious plans with this one. Here's a quote from a recent article. The distributors of other versions of Linux cannot assure their customers that Microsoft won't sue for patent infringement. If a customer says, look, do we have liability for the use of your patented work? Essentially, if you're using a non-SUSE Linux, then I'd say that answer is yes. And that was a quote from Balmer. And he continued, I suspect that customers will take that issue up with their distributor, Balmer said. Or if customers are considering doing a direct download of non-SUSE Linux version, they'll think twice about that. However, Balmer did not say whether Microsoft had any plans to file patent infringement suits against other Linux distributors. End quote. Now that, to me, seems like a thinly veiled threat of litigation, almost like something that SCO tried to pull. It could be that Microsoft is using this deal to really try to get other major Linux distributions aboard, so they can get a small piece of every commercial Linux license sold, which in a way really almost smacks of a protection racket. It could also be a plan to launch litigation against Red Hat and or Oracle. Since they now have a, you know, kind of quote-unquote industry partner, they'd be much less likely, I think, to be blocked by a monopoly proceeding if they did pursue one or more Linux vendors. And it would really be something along the lines of, no, we don't dislike Linux or competition. Just look at our pals over here at Novell. We just think these other guys are infringing on our IP. And because Novell is doing that IP deal, could be seen by courts, and especially courts that aren't really into open source or what's going on here, could give it some validity. Of course, it could be simpler than that. And if you subscribe to Occam's Razor's theory, you would say the simplest answer is usually the correct one. This is another quote from that same article. Quote, Balmer said, developing greater interoperability between Windows and SUSE Linux will actually increase the intensity of competition because it will make it easier for Microsoft to sell its technology into enterprise data centers with a mix of Linux and Windows server technology. Microsoft has joined into the Windows Linux collaboration project because customers want it and because if we're interoperable, we are going to take more business from Linux, Balmer said. End quote. Now that seems like a more honest statement. They are not getting the acceptance in the enterprise data center that they had hoped for, so they're using this deal to get their foot in the door. From what I've seen, this deal probably isn't generally good for Linux. However, I'm still up in the air as to whether it's actually bad for Linux. As to whether it's good for Novell, that remains to be seen. Ask the long line of now-crushed previous Microsoft business partners what they think about the deal. And a further follow-up, as I mentioned last week, if this made a material impact on Novell's bottom line, they would have to make a filing, and they have this week filed an 8K. And here's a quote from the filing. It's a little bit long, but I think reading the whole thing to give you some context is fairly important. And if you want to read the entire thing, this is just the summary statement. If you go to either Google Finance or Yahoo Finance, any of the finance sites, just look up the Novell ticker, it's NOVL, and then look for the most recent 8K filing. Quote, on November 2nd, 2006, Novell Inc. and Microsoft Corporation announced that they had entered into a business collaboration agreement, a technical collaboration agreement, and a patent cooperation agreement. This set of broad business and technical collaboration agreements is designed to build, market, and support a series of new solutions to make Novell and Microsoft products work better together for customers. Under the Business Collaboration Agreement, which expires January 1, 2012, Novell and Microsoft will market a combined offering. The combined offering will consist of SUSE Linux Enterprise Server, further known as SLES, and a subscription for SLES support along with Microsoft Windows Server, Microsoft Virtual Server, and Microsoft Viridian that will be offered to customers desiring to deploy Linux and Windows in a virtualized setting. Microsoft will make an upfront payment to Novell of $240 million for SLES subscription certificates, which Microsoft may use, resell, or otherwise distribute over the term of the agreement, allowing the certificate holder to redeem single or multi-year subscriptions for SLES support from Novell. Microsoft will spend $12 million annually for marketing Linux and Windows virtualization scenarios and will also spend $34 million over the term of the agreement for a Microsoft sales force devoted primarily to marketing the combined offering. Microsoft agreed that for 3 years it will not enter into an agreement with any other Linux distributor to encourage adoption of non-Novell Linux Windows Server virtualization through a program substantially similar to the SLES subscription certificate distribution program. The technical collaboration agreement, which also runs until January 1, 2012, focuses on three areas. Novell and Microsoft will develop technologies to optimize SLES and Windows running as guests on each other's operating systems. Novell and Microsoft will work together and with independent software vendors to develop management tools for managing heterogeneous virtualization environments, which will enable each party's management tools to command, control, and configure the other party's operating system in a virtual machine environment. Novell and Microsoft will work together on ways to make translators available to improve interoperability between Office OpenXML and OpenOffice formats. Under the patent collaboration agreement, Microsoft commits to a covenant not to assert its patents against Novell's end-user customers for the use of Novell products and services for which Novell receives revenue directly or indirectly from such customers, with certain exceptions. While Novell commits to a covenant not to assert its patents against Microsoft's end-user customers for their use of Microsoft products and services for which Microsoft receives revenue directly or indirectly from such customers, with certain exceptions. Both Microsoft and Novell have payment obligations under the patent cooperation agreement. Microsoft will make an upfront net payment to Novell of $108 million, and Novell will make ongoing payments of at least $40 million over 5 years to Microsoft based on percentages of Novell's open platform solutions and open enterprise server revenues. End quote. As you can see, quite a bit of money is flowing in from Microsoft to Novell. Now, as the article points out, that money may be coming just in the nick of time. Here's a quote from that article. This news comes just one day following rumors, still unconfirmed by Novell, that the Linux company had laid off some employees. In addition, Novell announced on November 6th for the third time that it was extending its deadline to get the holders of its convertible senior debenture to not demand immediate payment of the total $600 million owed in 2024. Wells Fargo Bank had demanded the earlier payment in full when it claimed that Novell had defaulted on its payment agreement by not turning in its July 31st quarterly earnings report to the SEC in a timely fashion. This, in turn, had been caused because Novell, like many other technology companies, has delayed its financial reports while it audits its past stock option practices. End quote. So, a couple of things that should be noted. Based on that 8K filing, this does not appear to be a patent licensing agreement, as some other articles were calling it, but a revocable covenant not to sue. And that's a big difference. Additionally, the way they're wording it, this isn't Microsoft granting Novell the covenant and then Novell extending that to Novell's customers. It's actually Microsoft directly offering it to Novell's clients. And I think that's a way to skirt around the potential GPL violation. You have to anticipate that that's a topic we'll hear more on that soon. I have seen quotes from Eben Moglen, who's the FSF lawyer, stating that they were looking into it and it was potentially a violation. But given that wording and given that more is coming out in this now, I'd guess we see something official from the FSF very soon. Now, in the end, on the Novell side, this may have just been a move to keep the company alive. It's harder to tell the motivation on the Microsoft side, and I mentioned a couple of these in the past, but it could be a way to incent Novell not to sue, which it looks like could have been a very real possibility on multiple fronts. It could be a play into a few new markets, especially virtualization for Microsoft, and it looks like moving forward over the next 5 to 6 years, virtualization could get huge. And also note that virtualization is one of the biggest threats to the humongous majority of Windows installations that are going now. Or I guess in the end it could be an attempt to subvert Linux community or a variety of other things. I don't think it will be clear for a while what exactly their motivations are. They could be good, they could be bad. I think the best thing to do is to kind of keep a very close eye on this, see what they're doing, see where this goes. And I know that's what I'll be doing, and as you may have guessed, it's something I'll be keeping you updated on. Now, continuing on the story, I thought it would be interesting to give you some of the responses from around the Linux community. First, I'm going to give you a quote from Eben Moglen, who I just said is the lawyer from the FSF, who said the deal may actually violate the GPL. Quote, "It's possible that the deal between Microsoft and Novell could conflict with the provision in the general public license. If you make an agreement which requires you to pay a royalty to anybody for the right to distribute GPL software, you may not distribute it under the GPL," Moglen told CNetNews.com. "Section 7 of the GPL requires that you have, and pass along to everyone, the right to distribute software freely and without additional permission. Whether the partnership precludes Novell from distributing Linux depends on precise terms of the agreement that Moglen hasn't seen," he cautioned, but he found other aspects of the deal troubling too. "Microsoft's pledge not to sue unpaid programmers is no comfort at all, given the quantity of paid open source programmers." So as he mentioned, this was before the 8K actually came out. So now to see the wording that Microsoft is extending it directly to the customers of Novell and Novell is extending it directly to the customers of Microsoft, I haven't seen a response from him yet on that, but as soon as I do, I'll definitely update. Now Bruce Perens seems to have similar concerns. Quote, "One of the questions yet to be settled is whether Novell will violate the GPL, the license of the Linux kernel and other important software, by offering patent protection that is exclusive to Novell's customers. The press release pretty much stated that. On that topic, the preamble of the GPL says it best. We wish to avoid the danger that redistributors of a free program will individually obtain patent licenses, in effect making the program proprietary. To prevent this, we have made it clear that any patent must be licensed for everyone's free use or not licensed at all. Novell has clearly accepted that license, but it appears that they are now out to make patent protection a business differentiator." Another note from Perens. "This is actually really bad news," said Bruce Perens. "It sets up Microsoft to assert its patents against all commercial open source users. The deal is going to be, you have to buy a Microsoft licensed Linux distribution from Novell, or there is an implicit threat that Microsoft will assert their patents against you," end quote. Now, it should be noted that Microsoft has opened this offer up to other Linux distributors, but to me that's a little soulless. And then in the 8K it actually came out that they couldn't have a similar program for multiple years. Regardless of whether that clause was in there or not, I'd not expect to see Red Hat sign a similar deal with Microsoft anytime in the near future. Now, some other community members seem much less worried. Here's a quote from Linus. "I prefer to be an optimist and will happily take the option that not everyone needs to be enemies," said Linus Torvalds, the creator of the Linux kernel, in an email message. "Let's see how it all pans out." Now Greg KH, who is a Novell employee, thinks that the media hype is much ado about nothing. Quote, "I don't really think this is a big deal at all for the Linux kernel community and code. We are no worse off than we were last week before this announcement, and we actually might be a bit better off now, depending on the actual wording of the agreement, which again, I have not read," end quote. Now here's a quote from John Terpstra, which I could not agree with more. Quote, Instead of judging the book by its cover, we should sit back to weigh the facts, discuss this announcement in rational debate, and then formulate a well-thought-out and united response." End quote. That response, to me, is just spot on. So I will continue reading up on this subject, and as I mentioned numerous times, I will continue to keep you updated. Now, I did have quite a few other stories that I wanted to cover, but I'm really already beyond the time that I like the podcast to run. So I will most likely do a kind of a bonus podcast, probably over the weekend if I had to guess, to cover. There's quite a few other news stories this week, from Adobe open sourcing Temarian, to Sun releasing additional information on the release of open source Java, some news about Sugar CRM. So there's about four or five other stories I wanted to cover, and I'll do that, like I said, probably on Sunday it will be, and then I'll have another scheduled podcast next Thursday, as always. So that is all I have for now, but thanks for listening.